Max Hall and Melbourne Football Club. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
This is Nat Fyfe from the Fremantle Footy Club.
Trent Cotchin from the Richmond Footy Club.
Scott Benderbury from the Collingwood Football Club. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Patrick Cooch from the Carlton Footy Club.
It's Rory Sloane here from the Adelaide Crows.
This is Tom Mitchell. You're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Hey, it's MJ from the Coaches Panel. I hope you're well and welcome back to another AFL Fantasy Strategy Roundtable where we talk with you about some of the big moves that you need to consider and make heading into the upcoming week of AFL Fantasy. There's a lot to get through on this episode. So whether you're watching this on YouTube where you see a little bit of a different background to what I'm normally working with, snuck away on a quick break, but have not forgot you, we've got this podcast for you lined up, or you're listening into the audio episode. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode from the Coaches Panel. Joining me on this, it's been a minute since we've done one of these for an AFL Fantasy Strategy Roundtable, but we've hooked it up nonetheless. Joining me on this episode, fellow co-founder, 2020 Dream Team Champion, and looking to be able to add 2023 AFL Fantasy Champion to that resume. It's Rids. Hello, mate. How are you?
2023 Champion. We're going back a year, aren't we, MJ?
Well, I'm nearing a landmark birthday in my life, so maybe I've just got us in my subconscious right now where I'm trying to just reverse the age somewhere. I think that's what I'm doing. That's all good.
Hey, mate, that's fair enough too.
I don't blame myself. There's a bunch of stuff I want to ask you. There is probably about 15 to 20 players. Normally we talk a lot of strategy and we do want to hit that, but I feel like these player movements that people are looking at ultimately are unlocking a lot of strategic mindsets of how we move in. But really, we've got to talk heading into round four. This is gather round for us in AFL fantasy as well as across the entirety of the AFL. It's the first time in 3 weeks since every single AFL club has played, which means we're no longer in best 18 territory. Rids, we're back to 22 on field and none of our garbage scores falling off. There's been some portions of the community, mate, that are seeing this as a challenging round. Others are seeing it as a kind of the true reality of where team builds are currently with the actual scores of what you place on field counting. As we head into this round, and it's a short week of footy with Monday afternoon the game ends and Thursday afternoon or evening it starts up again. What's your take on gather round and returning to a best 22 on field?
Well, I don't really have a take on gather round. The only thing with gather round, though, is you're going to get a little bit more diverse like venues over the weekend because they are going out to the country football teams, the grounds a bit. You know, they're going out to Mount Barker, for instance. They're going out to Norwood. They're not playing multiple, like, you don't have to travel to West Coast, okay? Or you don't have to go over to Tasmania, to Canberra, to Sydney. You don't have to have the elements of the weather on everywhere. It's all going to be one, you know, one fits all. So it's great. I actually like the idea. I think it's awesome. But for fantasy, it's going to be a bit of a challenge, I think, because some of the guys we want to go to may not have the greatest of venues for their matchups. You know, some of the other guys, like, I mean, not everywhere is going to be played like it's the Adelaide Oval. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah, 100%. There are some portions of the community, you mentioned this idea of maybe a bit more scoring diversity. We've seen players like a Darcy Wilson probably has fallen off a lot of people's scores last week, that 35 or the low 20s score from a Blake Howes or even a fortnight or a week earlier, like a Nick Dacos for their owners where he drummed up a 61. I think coaches were hoping that that score fell away. Do you see coaches that are running different strategy elements? And we are seeing different strategies, some running a Caulfield, Hoare, and even a Howes sort of defensive combo. I know two of those guys are out injured at the moment. Some are running three midfield rooks on field. Some are running as deep as four. And then others are running one or two through that forward line. Do you think team structures this week are going to, and I use this word loosely, by the way, be found out?
No, I don't think they will.
It's a little bit.
Sorry, mate, you just broke up a little bit. But I don't think they will be found out. There's going to be a little bit of that, you might get the odd, you know, 20, 40 points per structure, but then some people that have extra rookies on field may have the high top end guys. So as long as those guys continue to pop, then I think it's going to balance out a little bit. I think it's been overstated a degree, saying that, you know, if you have a defender D6 on field, yeah, that's great. You might be having a look at a Howes versus a Mass, for instance, okay? That might only be a 30-point, 40-point swing at the biggest, like, you know, at the greatest value. Like, it doesn't really matter, because just as long as that dollars that you have are spelt, like, well, spent elsewhere to make up, it doesn't really matter. So it's not going to be a position per se. It's going to be more what's your strategy, what's your structure, because we're not playing for round four. You know what I mean, MJ? We are playing for a longer term game here. There's going to be teams that are on value, trying to build team values. There might be teams that have gone a pure guns and rook. Like, and I hate talking about my team, for instance, but I've got three rucks at this point in time, you know, because I'm looking at that cash gen of the three rucks. It's just going to be different. It's not going to be right. It's not going to be wrong. And you know what? The thing that we have seen is the mid rookies are looking great. I get that. Mm. Rightio, and they look like they're the solid. But don't forget that the top end mids, like there is a greater difference. You got that 110, 115 at the top end, but then you got the rookies going at that 65, 70, you know? So that there is about 50, 60 point spread between the top ends to the actual rookies. If you go to the forward line, yes, I know that someone like a Darcy Wilson didn't have the greatest week last week, but he was going at 55s and 60s the weeks before. You know, yeah. Someone like Lazaro has come out and popped a couple of 50s. Harley Reid, that everyone seems to be, like, worried about, he's going 50s. Like, I mean...
And then Cadman, Gallagher's, Dempsey, like, there's a bounty of these options through there for us.
So take out Heaney. Okay, everyone not named Heaney right now. I mean, what are we talking? 90s? 95s?
Yep. Powell, like, Jackson, these, you know, Flanders and 90-ish guys, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's only a 40-point spread from that top. So I think it's been overstated. I think the focus has been directed at the wrong spots at times. It's not who you have at D6. For instance, it's what you do with the money if you've taken a bit of a haircut at D6, and where is it? Does it mean you can, you know, have a Bonner at M6? Like, does it mean you can have, like, whoever it is? It's not a pure, this is a mid-pricer versus a rook in a position. It's going to be across the whole team. Because we're all playing different strategies to get to the end of the year, yeah?
100% we are. And I think that kind of leads in nicely to the next thing I want to talk to you about. And like I said, there are a bunch of players I want to get your opinions on through this episode. But we do have a bunch of impending DPPs that are actually getting really quite close to us. Now, historically, in AFL fantasy, and it's the same for all the other formats, it would be heading into round six. However, that is not the case for 2024. Yep, I finally got my year right. The reason being, due to opening round and all of the buys that have happened and will still to come, they've made the decision they want everybody to have had the opportunity for equal amount of games. And then the positional allocations will roll in. So historically, it's pre-round six in 2024. It's post-round six. So you've got to get through four, five, and six. So three more weeks left to go. But I think we will do a video episode on this in the next week or two, Rids. But there's a bunch of different guys that are going to change up and reveal some strategic elements that coaches have either lucked into or planned or based their team around. So I'm talking Roberts getting defensive status, Nick Martin getting defensive status, these will actually drastically change up what our midfields and our defensive lines look at, let alone if someone like a Riley Sanders, for example, picks it up and we can really change things up. It does feel like this year, these impending DPPs will come. I know there's probably about 50 others that we could arguably talk about, but my goodness me, this really will change up team structures and potentially the way they're going to play these next few weeks.
Yeah, but we're not really looking at it in totality, are we? We're acting, we're reactive at the moment. We want to go get someone off a bye. So we're all looking at Sam Flanders this week, just say. Or whether it's a Tom Green this week, or whether it's a Tuke Miller this week. We're looking at these guys. But have we actually seen what is available in the big picture? Do you own a Nick Martin? Is he going to swing back in your defensive line? I've seen some of these defensive lines going down to D7, D8, MJ, right now. Well, what's going to happen when you get McKercher going back? You're going to have Roberts going back. You might even Bonner have a Bonner back. Going back. Yeah. Martin, what about Fisher in the forward line? Like, there's a whole heap of people, okay, at the moment that are going to gain that sort of role. What's going to happen when Sanders? Now, we're all going to have Sanders, yeah? But when we move the Martins out and the McKerchers out, we're going to find ourselves, we're going to have a big, big hole in that midfield. Are we going to have to go and look at a Jai Clark at times if we don't get this right? And it's going to be a fine balance, mate. It's going to be a juggle. You're going to go, well, is it a Zach Williams? I'm seeing people trade out Zach Williams this week, mate. Well, why not just let him go through to round 7 and then upgrade him to a midfielder or a forward, whoever's the most appropriate? You could still play these rookies in the midfield, but the problem we're going to have is there's going to be some smart coaches out there that are going to have this already set, are going to really start building that midfield quickly, and having the players in their dedicated positions to really start understanding where they are at. Because MJ, you think about it, mate, and we just look at our teams for a second, okay? You've probably got 2 premiums, okay, over the price of 850 right now in your defensive line, yeah? So I'm just going to throw out 2 popular names. Let's just go Sheasel and Stewart, okay? Yep. It could be a Whitfield. So we're going to have
it
2
of them. It could be a Dacos, you know, 2 of these sort of 850-plus guys, sure.
Okay, mate. And then let's look at Young. Most teams have Young, okay? That's a given. If you don't have Young, then you probably have a Jordan Clark. So straight away, you've got that. So we've already got 3 spots taken. Elliot Yeo looks amazing right now. He's going to, if he stays on the park, big if, but if he stays on the park, he's going to be
as good as the options we've got.
He's as close to a D6 as you can possibly get. We got guys like, if you don't own Nick Dacos right now, you'll be targeting Nick Dacos very soon because he's bottoming out. Yep. So you're going to want him in there. So suddenly you've got 3 premiums. You might own Nick Martin, who's very popular. So he's going well enough to be a defensive premium, yeah? So straight away you've got 4 premiums and you've got Yeo and you've got Young on top of that, especially if you've already targeted a Dacos. Like, I mean, we're going to have a chockers back line in what, round 7, just say, hypothetically.
We're 3 weeks away from it. And this is where you talk about different teams probably aren't going to get caught out this week going to 22 on field. And being caught out is probably a bit too much of a dramatic term, but, you know, I love a little bit of an exaggeration. It's more going to be round 7 and 8. And the reason you talk about it, if they can flip a McKercher back, they can move a Martin back, they can move a Bonner back, they can move whoever it is around. Yeah, sure, put your Sharp on field, put your Clark on field, no problems, quote unquote. But these guys are going to be able to move other options into the midfield, make these upgrades. There's some guys that will be under or around 900,000 that I think we would all say at the start of the year were top line midfield premiums. And based on how they're structuring up their side at the moment, They're 4 weeks away from going bang, bang to getting two of these big liners, locking in that day cost, getting in that forward premium that they want that might actually pop through there. So you're right. These DPPs are equally, if not more so, going to impact what our teams look like in 4 weeks and even what this best 22 week looks like for us.
And that's half the battle, Rightio. And we're entering, I wouldn't say, I know I've heard people say that we're in upgrade season now, but the fact is, why are we forcing this? It's only round four. Like, yeah. I mean, if you can do it, you can do it. Great. But sure. I don't think we're going to have enough dollars in our teams right now to be able to go big upgrade, big upgrade, big upgrade, big upgrade, big upgrade through to, say, round eight or nine week after week with one down and one up. Let these guys fatten a bit. Like, there's no rush. And especially with best 18 next week and the week after. And then we still got four rounds of best 18 right in the middle of the season. It's one of those ones, yeah? You've got to have that delicate balance, because the last thing you want to do is you go culling, and guess what? You're losing, because who are we trading into, MJ? Who are the two most important players with the biggest break-evens this week? It's Harvey Thomas and Harvey Gallagher. And the thing is, both of them were, 40 merchants, 50 merchants beforehand? Do we really want to have those sort of guys on our field? Because we just culled too quick. Like, if you, and, you know, someone like a Jeremy Sharp, okay? He's been good, perfect. Yep. His break-even's now starting to bounce up into the positives. I think it's about 11 or something at the moment.
Yeah, he's 2 to 3 weeks away from topping out. Yep.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. See, he's colourable, you know, in the next week or so, yeah? Maybe the 2 rounds away. You can cull him, okay? But who are we culling him to? What are the rookies that are coming along? I mean, there's a Richmond rookie that should be named this week.
McAuliffe, yep.
Yep, so he's potentially one. There's an Ari Schoenmaker. From the Saints. There's a couple coming through, but
yeah,
you
wouldn't
still
be shocked
want
if Ryan from the Crows gets a go. Yep,
and maybe the Hawthorne back, the Phillips.
Yeah,
I mean the thing Phillips, is, yeah. So there could be guys coming through, but are they really? Do we want to jump on them blind just because we're trying to force people. It?
Yeah,
and there's plenty
it's
of
definitely
ways
there.
Well, there's plenty of ways to do this. Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, okay, or last week or wherever it was. There is a possibility that we are waiting too long as well. So, because depending on whose the strategies are, like, it's going to be interesting. This week is going to be massively interesting because we got the Tom Green owners coaches coming back. We got the Lockie Correct. Whitfield coaches coming back. We
Flanders,
got the Sam
Miller.
Flanders, Miller.
Yeah.
You know, this is a really, really interesting week, and there's a best 22 aspect to it. And that's what we should be focusing on. Now, people who went well last week may, you know, dip a couple of hundred points this week.
Yep.
And that's fine if you do that, because guess what? We got another two best 18s, and you got to kind of have those ups and those downs as the year progresses, while everyone's finding their feet and while everyone's running a different strategy. I said the three ruck teams out there at the moment, guess what they've got right now? Now, they might not have had nailed every rookie, and they might have, but the fact that they've got Cherry there, and they've got Gorn there, that's a lot of cash, MJ. And the fact that Grundy's going in now and starting to generate some cash, but that doesn't mean they're any worse off. It just means that their points on field are probably going to be at a lower ebb point, because whenever that timing happens right now, you go straight to a Flanders in one trade, really, MJ, if you actually plan for it. Or you can go to a Tom Green. They've got an easy way to get to a Bontempelli or a whoever it is. And just as long as they're their cash build was in the ballpark, and their points, you know, is comparable to the top ranked teams. Why? That's a great strategy, but we won't know the outcome of it until post mid-season buys, like everything. Yeah.
We're 8 to 10 weeks away from really seeing different teams' strategies and approaches. I'm seeing teams, even in the top 50, I'm seeing teams that are, you know, got that 18.1 team value million, and teams that are like 18.6, 18.7. So we are seeing teams do it differently. And we will, as you mentioned, see some of those compounding things change over this next 8 to 10 weeks. There's a bunch of players I want to ask you about, Rids, that really I feel will largely impact a lot of the strategy decisions coaches will make this week. And so I want to ask you about every single one of these players and get your take on them as options. Let's start with probably one of the most popular downgrade options this week in Harvey Thomas. Popped a ton for us against the Eagles before the bye. He's now got a negative break even of -22 and has really bumped that average up. But as you mentioned beforehand, hadn't even cracked anything over 50 prior to this. How important is he as a trade option for us this week?
Well, I think he makes enough cash. And the thing is, you can actually do him at a F8 or a util at this point in time, okay? So he's likely to make, you know, $150,000 in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I think he's almost at that point now where you go, yeah, I think the cash is worth it. If you can hit that $100,000 to $150,000 on that player to be increased, that means it's a much easier downgrade slash jump sideways to a mid-pricer, whatever you want to do later in the season. So I think this guy is going to be very important for us. Now, the things that we do need to watch out here is mid-forward. That's very, very handy. I know that in AF we've got the util and we can sub in and out, but having that ability to be able to swing is great, especially with our trades. The second thing to watch with this, though, is he has a round 12 bye. So I don't think any team would want to hold him until round 12, but the problem is if he does have a really poor game next week or this week, that really means that his cash gen stalls. He may be stuck in your team as one of those dead bench rookies for a long period of time.
I wouldn't want him on field at all. Just historically, again, based outside of that one game, he's struggled to get to 50. But I agree with you. I think if this is the way it gets you to the upgrade that you want, and or it's just that activation of cash into your team, I don't mind it. Sam Flanders is probably one of the top trade priorities this week, Rids. I think we know that role looks really strong, and while he might not be popping those 130s of late of 2023, he's still showing that he's got that strong scoring component about him. His break even, his average is pretty much net neutral. He's still under 850K, but very, very highly owned for us. Team dependent, I know, is the answer that yourself and Mini Mike always like to give when it comes to trading priorities, but how important is Flanders this week?
Oh, he's important, but it's not just for this week, yeah? So the fact of the matter is he's averaging 103 right now. That's heavily inflated with that 120 score a couple of weeks ago, or whatever it was, 119 a couple of weeks ago. So, but the thing is, he is going to be a top six forward for the year. There's no problems about that. He's 840. He's priced at about 90 at this point in time. Is he absolutely going to hurt you and burn you right now? Not this week, because he is playing at a venue that may not be as suited to his game style and against an opposition.
A bit more suburban footy.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit, but he is still, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, yeah? I said this earlier today to a couple of people that I know, Elise and Eloise, sorry, and Liam. And I sort of said, whenever I have the opportunity to go to the big dog, I just don't muck around. I just take the big dog. I know there might be other options at the time, but I don't want to get too cute with it, because often what you find is you get tripped up. You know, you plan for them in 2 weeks and then suddenly a couple of bullets hit, something else happens, and suddenly you don't go and you just miss them for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So if you have the possibility and you've been planning for it anyway, Sam Flanders is a great upgrade this week. But it depends who you're going from as well.
It's all about how you get there, yeah.
Yeah, so if it's coming from a James Jordan, happy days, yeah? If it's going from a failed mid-pricer midfielder, let's say I'm thinking...
Wines, who's injured.
Absolutely gun trade. So it's all about... But if you do it from Luke Jackson right to this week, probably not the worst player problem on your list right now. You might have seen that Sean Darcy's... expect it back next week. But what happens with Sean Darcy, as we always know, he's always an extra couple of weeks away, even when we expect him to come back next week. So the thing is, don't force it. I feel that's a bit of a force and you're jumping at a shadow per se. Wait for them to come back and then to be named and to do that, if that's the way you're going to do it. Heaney's another instance, example, MJ. Right now, he's going 20 points. This is ridiculous, yeah? He's averaging 20 points better than the number two averaging forward. That's incredible. You told me a couple of months ago, when we were crying poor about the forward premiums right now, that the top three, or let's just say the top four, are averaging three or four are averaging 100. I think Sam Flanders is 99.3 or something.
Yeah, he is.
But the three of them are Heaney, Zorko, and Harry Mackay. Like, we were whinging, carrying on like pork chops, yeah? We don't even know whether we were going to start Fisher at F1 a couple of months ago, well, a couple of weeks ago. Like, this is... So the fact of the matter is, we do have options. We do know what we're doing. We just got to be prepared to have a look and to live outside the box that we live in.
Yeah.
I still don't think, mate, that the forwards is the place that you want to spend the dollars at this point.
Okay, interesting. Well, speaking of spending the dollars, up over a million now is Tom Green. He's had a phenomenal start to the year. You talk about getting into the best. 127 is his average. His break even, well, based on current form, he should only continue to make money. Is it just too much money too early in the season to be going and getting him now? Or is knowing, and there are a few players I want to get your take on in a minute, that are under 100,000, or in fact more than 100,000 cheaper than what Green is right now. You talk about getting the best when you can afford the best. Is now the time to do that with Green?
I think that's forcing it for Green right now, okay? He's averaging 127. His break-even's 111. Like, he's not going to average 100. I shouldn't say it like that, yeah? Because he's young, he's a gun. We know he's a gun.
It's unlikely that he'll average 127. Let's go with that.
I'm pretty safe in saying, like, it's been a while since we've had someone go over 120 in this season. Like, I think the last one would have been Tom Mitchell a few years back.
Yeah, Steele and Miller did it not too long ago, yeah.
But Laird did it a couple of years ago as well. Yeah.
But that's the thing. This is
we're talking high 120s. Yeah? Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, Tom Rockliffe did 130s. Dane Swan was 130s. Ablett, you know, that's the type of company Tom Green's facing right now. Even Marcus Bontempelli, who had an amazing year last year, only went at 117. And I know people will say, oh, yeah, but he started slow and everything. But the fact is, he still only went 117. It's such an awkward price, especially for mids. And we've seen it just recently, MJ. And you're going to be asking me about guys who are starting to bottom out. We're talking about, did you think we would ever say that Goulden was going to drop the values that he has?
People thought he was safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Bontempelli was definitely safe. you think about the draw for inside mids.
It was amazing. Guess what?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not that much. He's not safe anymore, is he? Now he's getting safer because of the price. But the fact is, like, what we tend to overdo is look at the dollars and then relate and think that people are just going to go and match it at times. And
yeah,
when we have value across the teams, like we had this year with the rucks, with the mids, with the forwards, we tend to spend up because we always have extra money left over, you know, after. Mm. So that's where the challenge is. If I've got it, do I spend up? Well, yeah, you can, but you got to be very, very lucky to nail that one in 10 safe option that is going to exceed their price point at that point.
Well, and it's been Green and it's been Sarong. Yeah, outside of Green and Sarong over that 950, 960. Like, Rosie's been okay. Like, he's held his range, so I wouldn't be too disappointed there. But really, that upper echelon, guys, it's been two of them and not much else. Talk to me about Lockie Whitfield then, Riggs. You talk about the defensive line might not be the spot to be trading into just with the bounty of options that are coming through. We've listed them already, but Roberts, McKercher, Bonner, all heading into the back line and a Fisher. Where does Lockie Whitfield sit in a trade cadence priority for you now? He's been awesome, had a great opening round score, and has been good since then. Again, should we be prioritizing elsewhere in our teams?
Whitfield's really awkward, yeah, because it's an awkward conversation. This guy can actually, he's got history, Whitfield. He's done this before. But you know what he's also done, MJ? He's gone out and had an early in-game injury, or he's missed games through suspensions, or whether it's concussions, whether it's hamstrings, whether whatever has happened. Whitfield's given us one of those roller coaster rides along the journey. If you don't own Whitfield right now, I would be holding off until after the mid-season buy. If you own Whitfield right now, enjoy the ride.
100%.
Yeah, don't go forecasting or jumping at shadows that something's going to happen. Just enjoy the ride. Just be aware that there is history there, yeah?
There are history bumps for sure. One of the most popular trade-ins last week was a Tom Powell. Our boy, okay, maybe we're getting too excited. Technically, I traded him to you in a keeper league during the offseason, so maybe I've lost my claim to be able to say he's my boy, but he's going at 98 at the moment. Got still a very nice break even. He's going to make and hit over that 700,000 price tag, no problem. I guess my question for you about Tom Powell is twofold. One, should we be prioritizing him over Sam Flanders with a 200,000 price difference? And then the second question, is this scoring continuation going to hold? And is he going to be a 90, 95 plus scoring forward for us for the year?
Well, mate, he's young enough, yeah? So, you know, there's no history there because he didn't have a role before. His body might not have been ready to take the role, okay? Whether it was Simpkin being in the midfield last year, whether it was Cunnington the year before, whatever's happened has happened, but Powell's ready to pop. He was prolific as a junior. He was huge as a junior in this role.
Amazing.
And he's the number one CBA guy for North Melbourne in the midfield. So, like, outside of the ruck, but... Mm. It's him. It's Tom Powell. I just don't understand why you doubt that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying you, but anyone. No.
The royal you, yes.
Yes. Like, the fact of the matter is, if you got a Jack Billings problem this week, if you've got a Nate Fife problem this week, what's the easiest pivot you could do in your forward line, MJ?
Tom Powell, and it's not going to cost you much. So let me just show you quickly for those watching over on YouTube. He's at 546K Nat 5. So really, it's $100,000 movement. A Jack Billings, 564K. It's around about $100,000 you've got to find. And also James G, Jordan, you could probably throw into the mix of that as well. They do have West Coast this week, so the matchup is right. But again, you want to get into Powell. They're all pretty much 100,000 that you've got to make, which is very, very easy to get, especially if Thomas is one of your downgrade options.
And for the best 22, mate, if you turn, let's just say, a Jordan, and I know it's going 1 week early from his bye, but the fact of the matter is his break-even's 54. Yep. How much is he going to burn you? Well, if he pops an 80, what, 15,000, 20,000 in cash gen?
And you're moving him next week anyway at the bye to be poor.
And Powell's going to match that anyway with his dollars that he goes up. So you're correct. Still jumping on a value. I don't know whether Powell's going to maintain this for the whole year or not, but who cares if he does or doesn't? Right now, he's on a burst and he's on a run and he's making cash and he's scoring points. Don't argue with that. Don't be stubborn. Just jump into him. If you've got a Billings or a whoever problem sitting there. And I think the majority of us do have one of those three.
Billings, Fife, Jordan. I think we've got at least one of those. I know some might put Fisher in that consideration as well. But for me, I would, if I was a non-Powell owner and going, oh, do I want to get Powell or Flanders this week? The $200,000 I could reactivate elsewhere. Flanders' price is going to be barely moving if he goes a flat line ton this week, whereas if Powell goes another ton, you're jumping on another 50,000 sort of price movement, and he's over 700K. So
I'll put it into names just so people out there can actually understand. 200,000, okay, if you've got a Jordan and you've got, let's say, I don't know, a dead rook, okay, you've got a 200.
Well let's a say, Reed or a Coffield or a Hoare somewhere in the back.
Someone like that, Roddy, oh? That 200,000 could mean that you can go Jordan and let's say Harley Reid. And you can go out and let's say you missed Ollie Dempsey on the weekend. You can go and grab an Ollie Dempsey and a Tom Powell and you're actually making money on these guys. And it's at a much quicker rate than what you're actually doing with the other guys. So I just don't think it's that hard, really. I think it's a no-brainer. You just got to sometimes spend a bit of less, add a bit of less. But someone like an Ollie Dempsey can definitely fill that F6, F5 rookie on field, as we saw last week.
Oh, he patrolled that wing beautifully. I think he's going to pick up DPP for us as well. There's six or seven more guys I want to ask you about, as well as Powell being really popular trade option last week. It was D'Ambrosio, who's still got a really attainable break even in the low 40s, averaging in the low 80s and just under 600K. So for those with a Hoare, Caulfield or Reed, I know there's about 100,000 between two of them and Reed, but it's only about 230K from a Caulfield and Marty Hoare up to a D'Ambrosio, or another 100K on top of that if you're a Zach Reed owner. Is it too late if you've missed him? Is it just not, you've got to let him go and look elsewhere? Or is there still some relevance and value to consider him as a trading option?
I think there's definitely value still there. It depends on the team, yeah? So if you're set up with a D6, would I go suggesting you to spend $200,000 on Howell's head to get Massimo in? And I'm calling him Massimo because I don't want to murder that surname, okay? So, no, I wouldn't recommend that because I think $200,000 can be spent better elsewhere.
Yep, that's fair enough too. I want to talk to you about three kind of top-line premium midfielders and get your take on them. And then there's a quick conversation I want to have the rucks before we wrap up this episode. You mentioned a Marcus Fontempelli. He's finally down to six figures for us. He's surprisingly not even averaging the ton for us yet, which is crazy, but a 136 break even at the moment. Historically, that's well within his attainability, but based on 2024 data, it's not there at the case. I know I'm going to put two other premiums that are coming down in price pretty cheaply, but it looks like he's going to bottom out around 950K in the next 2 weeks for us. are we just like got to high prioritize this one, Riz, or are there some other ones that are more likely to come our way?
It all depends. He's had that role, but on the weekend, he sort of lost that role halfway through the game. I think we're overstating how West Coast is as an opposition. I think that's actually been seen as an in-game rest and managing of players. We know Bontempelli went into last week with an ankle inquiry. And I say inquiry because I don't know if it was real or not, the injury. But there was some sort of awareness about his ankle, you know, going into the game. He played great. But the thing was, he burst out, okay? He had the monster first quarter. And then he sat pretty much forward, rotated around, just lost interest. He just couldn't be bothered,
There was Libba got benched. Like, clearly that was just low issue of that. I'm with you that they definitely treated that game as a bit of an in-game guy.
And then the last quarter, he salvaged the game. But the fact that he's, if he actually was at full throttle, he may have scored 200 last week. So I don't think we lead too much into what happened last week when it comes to Bontempelli. The thing we do read is he's dropping in price. Now, he goes lower than 130, you know, what did you say, 950? Look, I mean, that 136 break even is attainable from Bontempelli against anyone. Like, so if you want Bontempelli and you got the coin, he's value right now compared to what I think he could do. But then everyone could say that about everyone,
That's true. Talk to me about Errol Goulden. He's a couple weeks away from a bye. Well, it's not a couple. It's 1 week away. So no one's making the move pre-bye because he, along with Heaney, along with Grundy, along with Roberts, along with Jordan, and along with Dacos as well, all going to be missing round five. So we're looking at this as early at round six. If he goes at his average, which again, under 100, which he was for many was a safe top line premium, and he's been fine. He's just not been 110 plus fine. He could be as low as 900K for us coming off the buy, depending on how it goes this week. It's about a 60, 70K difference potentially on what Bontempelli will be in 2 weeks' time. Where do you rank the Goulden trading consideration post buy?
I think there's enough question marks to park it for a while.
In terms of role?
No, I think it's more about his teammates, MJ. What's the one biggest difference between now and last year when Goulden was going nuts?
Oh, someone's in the midfield, that's for sure.
And Goulden's no longer number one midfield right now. It's going through Heaney. So we've talked about having like a thirst, like a hunger. Heaney's bloody hungry right now, okay? He's got a point to prove.
Is he ever?
He's been given this midfield role that he's been yearning for years. And then suddenly Longmire's just giving him the key to the midfield. Away you go. And he is running, Brodio, and he's bloody hungry. The fact of the matter is he's not letting anyone else eat at this point in time because Isaac Heaney only knows one way. So when he gets the ball, MJ, he's not looking sideways to the wing. He's going straight down into the 50, okay? That's how he plays. We've all seen it. When Heaney, like let's say when Tay comes back, when Parker comes back, the whole lot comes back, Mills, what happens with Heaney? He may very well end up back forward. If he does go forward, that's when you go, oh, Goulden's back in town because we've seen it before last year, with Goulden. But
yeah, we definitely saw
Goulden with Heaney as hungry as he is right now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Talk to me then about Clary Oliver because I do want to hit a couple of rucks quickly before we wrap up the episode. Again, he's on the bye after round six, so we've got a couple of weeks, then he's going to miss. So 95 average at the moment, 133, much like Bont and Errol, history would say attainable, but 2024 would say, no, he's going to drop under 900K. different set of circumstances, I suppose, with them. Errol's got some role questions. Bont is a little bit unique with the matchup that just came up last week, whereas Oliver didn't have a preseason. Is this the main priority off the early season buys that we should be going for?
I think off his bye, he runs into Richmond in round 7, and then he goes over and plays against Geelong the week after. He goes Carlton, and then he goes Eagles, St Kilda, Fremantle. That's as friendly as you can get around that round 7. That's when I would be targeting for a Clary Oliver. And guess what, MJ? That coincides with the new defence positions we were just talking about.
It's almost like you could potentially look at moving a Zach Williams type up into your midfield and fade a McKercher, a Bonner, whoever you need to into your backline all of a sudden with a couple of hundred K on top of it. Happy days.
So how about this, MJ? And I don't want to tell people how to play.
Please.
Williams can be a downgrade to whoever the rookie is at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Riley Bonner could then have enough money to be put on his head to be called Clary Oliver at round
7. Yeah, it could be 150, 200K easily. Yep.
So that's what we're looking at right now.
All right. Okay. The three rucks I want to talk about before we wrap up the episode. Max Scorn owners, it was loving the start to the year because he's given you everything. And that is scores well above his price point, captaincy level scoring, and he's increasing your team value. Is it at the point now, it's always dangerous to say the K word. This is heading into keeper level territories where if you're an owner, you're not even looking at English or Marshall. This is as good as we could have asked for Max Scorn owners, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know what? If I didn't own Max Scorn right now, I'd be petrified, MJ.
Yeah.
Because now it's my stubbornness. I missed him at the lower price point is preventing me to have fixed this a couple of weeks ago with Grundy, who was failing at the time.
Yep. Yeah, it's painful. Now, maybe you're net neutral with all the other moves that are there, but he's not going to run at 120 for the coming 20 weeks, but he doesn't have to. The damage has been done.
It's been very done right now, and you're taking a very big leap of faith right now that the other guys are going to match Gorn with what we've seen already. Because Gorn's he is a gun. There's no problems about that. But this is the first time we've seen him as a sole ruck in a team for what was it, 4 or 5 years, 6 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
There's no, and everyone's saying he's a bit old in the tooth. He's a ruckman, and 32 is not old in the tooth for a ruckman. This guy is inarguably, he's in his form, like he's right at that age where he should be peaking.
Yep.
And I mean, don't be stubborn about it, because he's only gone up 104,000 for the year. It's not like he's put you out of owning him. It's just that you've been stubborn because you've chosen someone that hasn't quite popped or generated the cash. It's the same, like it's the same argument with Cherry, like if the two, right now, hindsight will tell us Gorn Cherry was the combination.
Without question.
Points, cash gen, whatever. Okay, we had that raging discussion in the preseason. Well, what is it? What is it? Like, the fact of the matter was, it may not be two. It could have been three. But Gorn and Cherry, if you're talking about just the three, are clear number ones right now and clear ahead of the pack. And if you have Gorn and Grundy, for instance, and you've been stubborn not to make that Grundy to Cherry trade a couple of weeks ago when it was just sitting there to bank a bit of cash, and like, you've done yourself a disservice. You've got to go and find that extra 150, 200, 250. Who knows where it ends up, cash generation that's not Cherry. That's the problem, is the cash generation.
And then you talk about it, Tim English. He's destined to drop under $1 million this week, despite going fine. And again, really just eased off in that last quarter against West Coast. He was definitely heading towards a 130 if he really wanted to push it. And Marshall, another. That, sure, both are attainable break-evens. They're both around that 130, 140 market, depending on the format. It's getting to this interesting point, Rids, for us, where in a couple of weeks' time, Cherry will hit his topped-out point, Grundy will hit his topped-out point, and non-Gorn owners now have a decision to make between these three. Gorn owners don't have to worry about that. Then they're starting to look at either Marshall or English, and even the option, if they wanted to as well, of just running the other value guys through there. So it's going to get to an interesting point in about 2.5-3 weeks' time, Rids, where people that are looking at a upgrade cadence going, okay, Cherry's pretty much maxed out. Gorn is now heading towards the high 900,000s. English is there. Marshall is there. Oh boy, that's going to be an interesting decision to make for people in about 3 weeks' time.
And there's no reason why it can't be both.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be 5 weeks of Marshall, and then you might flip him and have 6 weeks of English. You don't have to select people with the thought process that they're going to be in your team at the end of the year.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's a really good one. Hey, Rids, you've given us some plenty of stuff to process in a short and condensed week for AFL Fantasy, with Gather Round kicking off Thursday night and really footy ending only on Monday night. So not a heap of time for us to make some decisions, but you've given us some great stuff to process through over sort of 48 hours or less than that now before the start of Gather Round. So as always, mate, an absolute pleasure chatting to you about AFL Fantasy.
So we should really finish with this. What is it, Tim's League, the Content Creators Cup? So,
oh, yes, the Content Creators Cup.
I
yes.
want to celebrate you here, MJ. So you want to tell the listeners out there what happened on the weekend?
No, let's not do that, because that's putting me in Adelaide Crows territory, which is where you win a game. You should win a game. And if you haven't won one, that's okay, but you should win a game. Yes, I won a game this week, Rids.
And guess what?
How did you go?
My luck was actually flicked, and I won a game as well, and I didn't lose a close one.
Oh, there you go.
I got over the top of Calvinator, and you got over the top of, who was it? Dunkley's Donuts?
I think it was Zach. No, Sanchez Snags.
Ah, there you go. So
I got.
So at this point in time, the coaches panel's going okay. Mini Monk's still undefeated, but
of course he is.
Yeah, but let's just call out that I do rank a little bit higher than him this week. So I'm going to call that out right now, because it's unlikely to stay that way for the year. But I did tell him a couple of months ago that I'm coming for his title this year, mate.
Coming for his hat. That's what you do. Well, if you're worried or curious about how it's going down, Rids is taking on fellow coaches, panelist, and pod member Louie. So that's going to be interesting. Mini Monk is taking on one of the AFL Fantasy Fanatics in Tim Guest. I've got another one. I've got Bales this week. So interesting to see how it's all going to play. I'm no longer on the bottom of the ladder. So that's a, I don't know if I ever actually got there, but it's good that I'm not there anyway. So happy days. Thanks for bringing that up, Rids. We'll keeping you up to date with how that's all playing. If you are curious, where's Mini Monk? I think he's joint leader. There's four guys that are undefeated at the moment. Mini Monk is one of those, along with Roy, DC, and Bales. So some nice work from those guys. Hey, if you've been listening to this episode, thank you so much for tuning in. We so greatly appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed or given a 5-star rating to this podcast, it's not too late. You can do that. If you want to join our Patreon supporter group, they get a bunch of different rewards during the round, whether it be up at that premium tier level where they get the weekly round review, it's the Q&A podcast, or just a bunch of other rewards during the season. You can join that with all the details in the description of this episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, you've clearly seen a different location for me, but wanted to still get you this episode while I was away on some holidays. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do that. Comment below and let us know what your trade plans are for this week. We'll get in touch with you there and make sure you've turned the notification on. So as soon as a new episode drops, whether it be the strategy roundtables or something else that's coming real soon, you'll be notified of that immediately. Hey, good luck in this round.
Before you sign off,
yes,
everyone that follows Coach's Panel or MJ on Twitter, make sure shout out to him next week because it's his 40th birthday. So the fella's getting old, okay?
Thanks, mate. I mean, I'm getting old and, we'll see how long the hair lasts for. But for now, it's intact and it's mostly its original color. So let's see how we go. I'm not sure if it's the age, three kids, or just life in general that ages you. So, yes. We've got a strategy roundtable to get to before that, though, Rid. So I've still got at least one more in me. Actually, I got a couple more before I hit that milestone marker. So thank you for that. Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And good luck this week as we head into round four. It's Gather Round, a big week of footy. The Finn McGuinness tag is coming and 22 players on field. I look forward to talking with you real soon about AFL fantasy again.